Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Do your ex gon' give it to ya?
Wow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Hook of the Brother. 46. This is Jorge.
Well met, fellow travelers. This is Maddie of House's Dingus Dongus.
Just make it out not to Hugo's the podcast.
He's trying to fill that bingo card. That's what it is.
Dude, I saw that card and I'm like, that shit doesn't get used enough.
But you know why? Because everybody's got the same card. You got to mix them up. It's got to like be randomized. So not everybody wins. Not everybody wins here.
Well, in fact, mostly we lose.
Yeah.
Why?
It's how the world works, bro.
Oh.
Welcome to cynicism. That's okay. What it is.
Okay.
What's all that?
Sorted. It.
Here you're getting a pool.
Well.
He's getting
ooh,
a
that's
pool.
A good idea. You got plenty of rooms.
That's what I said.
It's not it's not a for sure thing. But we are toying with the idea of getting a pool at the house.
Hell yeah. Hot tub or no?
In the hot tub. Yes.
It depends on the budget.
Yes.
I have a dollar amount that I'm willing to spend.
You have a dollar.
I have a dollar.
That's me. Dude.
You can't get a great pool for that price.
For a dollar?
For a dollar.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
You should. Just get a smaller pool. Put a hot tub.
So we will see about hot tub. I don't know. I have no concept of what pools
are. And then
cost.
I'm going to move into your granny flat.
Ah, yes, when she dies.
I'll contaminate your hot tub. Mm. Yeah. I mean, you know, with like baby oil
just
from
for
like
that,
from like
you're,
posing.
You're out.
You know, working
forever.
That's not fair. Well, you promised. You told me.
Yeah. So how you guys been?
Pretty good.
Good.
I'm excited to see The Armed tomorrow.
That's true. He's doing that.
In Los Angeles with our buddy Dane. And
how is Dane?
Dane is doing pretty good. She's into her occult stuff, doing her digital art.
Got a puppy.
She got a new puppy. So, yeah.
A National Puppy Day. I didn't even know that was a thing. National Puppy
Dude, there's
Day.
There's a National Everything Day for Everything Day.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, so basically it renders all of them equally full of shit.
Exactly.
Every day.
You need to have a day where...
Nothing.
No holiday day.
Yeah.
No, it's every day. Every day is a reason to party.
It's like...
I mean, that's true.
The day where there's nothing is when I can finally relax.
I had to buy a dog. I had to eat some tacos. I had to have a beer. I had to have some whiskey. I had to have a sandwich. I had
National Cuckery Day.
I had to have a coffee.
Blow your boss day.
Oh, fuck. I had to have a donut. I had to have a pretzel. Oh, shit.
Yeah, pretzel day. There's probably one.
I'm sure. Hell yeah, there is.
And that's what I mean. People don't get it, too. There's more things than days in the year. So this is already a rigged game.
It's talked like a pirate day.
Ugh. Yeah, so that's why only like 365 things are good enough to get days.
That's not even true. That's not true. They're going to have 365 days full of shit, and then people are going to realize all the stuff they didn't have days for.
Well, yeah.
And think of all the new martyrs they're not going to have days for. The people we have yet to kill. You know what I mean? They need days.
There's going to be a lot of those coming up.
Well, we're going to have to split it into hours. Like this is...
That's a good idea.
They will.
That's a good idea.
This is pizza hour on March 14th.
Yep.
Za hour.
That is. It's
you
pie day.
Pizarron.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
It is. I mean, like, yeah, it's pie day.
How did I pull that?
I don't know. Out of the ether, bro.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's a little warm today.
I like it.
It's starting to warm up.
This is the hot where I like it. It's going to get a lot hotter and that's going to suck. But right now it's dope.
Dude, if things work out the way we want, we're going to get solar and we can crank that fucking AC.
Hell yeah.
However we
I'm
want.
Just going to cook myself in the garage, dude. When your workouts get all sweaty again, that's fucking dope.
Ah.
Makes you feel like you worked harder than you actually did just because it's hot.
Is that right?
Fuck yeah, it is.
But don't you actually work harder when it's hot?
I mean, a little bit. Yeah. I mean, if you want to, you know, get into semantics, sure.
I mean,
well, it's not really semantics. It's not
semantics.
I mean, you're not semantic, dude.
Well, I ran a 5K last night, and it was delicious because it wasn't hot. So, yeah, you definitely fucking, even psychologically, once you start working psychologically harder, you start working harder anyway.
I've never worked psychologically.
Oh, no?
Oh, no?
oh, no? Yeah, man, like running at night when it's nice and cool is not the same as running when it's 90 degrees. Nah. That shit's just not the same.
That first thing in the morning, where are you
going? I'm going to get a beer because we're talking about working out.
Oh, dope. Oh,
that's dope.
How's working out been going for you, dude?
Good, dude. This has been a good week for it. Had a nice workout today, all sweaty. The 5K with the dog. Good, see, good. You've been back in the gym. I've been seeing your selfies again. That's nice. I appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, I don't get enough selfies from my friends when they're all sweaty and muscular.
Got to make sure to get the leggies going again, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Get the HGH the leggies from those legs.
Somebody was going to build me a leg press, but, like, you know, they haven't done it.
You know... Here's the thing.
I guess I'm all asked out.
Here's the thing about fucking Matt.
You said thing singular.
This is one of the things.
This
about
is the one thing.
Matt Smith.
Okay.
Is he requests a lot.
No.
And yet, gives none.
Bro, I'm gives here. Not. I'm here anytime you need me. You know that.
Except for when I've needed you and you haven't been here.
Oof.
I mean,
is this the right time for this?
It's always the right time.
It's always the right time.
Anywho, what have you played or watched?
I watched Encanto. That's dope. That's good.
That is hella dope.
Pixar movies, fuck, dude, all the time.
Well, I told you guys about Micah. Yeah, he fucking started crying after that shit.
Dude, what is it about fucking grandma singing that gets me? Bro, as soon as fucking Abuela started singing, I'm like, there it goes.
It's heart rips in two. It's because you know why? Because we don't have good grandmas.
Well, and not to be all Cockenstein, even though I am, it's actually not Pixar.
It's not?
It's Disney Animation Studios.
Oh.
Which is on, they've been on the up and up ever since doing, I'll mention it again, Tangled. If you liked Encanto, buckle up, Buttercup, as Maddie Ding Dong.
I'm not gonna watch Tangled.
That's you, dude. You're Rapunzel.
I know.
Tangled is way fucking better than Encanto.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
I'll fucking take
it. Because it's white people.
Of Tangled, course you're gonna say just because this one.
That's
time,
why he likes
the
it.
The whites lie better. He likes it. It doesn't mean the whites are never better. Okay. Is it better than Coco? No. Is it better than Encanto? Yes.
It's not better than Encanto.
Oh, no, fuck off.
I don't think so. I think the songs are better in Encanto, too.
Oh, dude. Oh, well, I'd agree with that.
I was I could actually see myself listening to this soundtrack.
Then listen to it.
Well, I just watched it yesterday.
Oh, well, you've had all day.
Yeah. I've been busy making focaccia bread, bitch.
And you still haven't brought us any pizarrones.
What do you mean? Oh, that's right.
You haven't brought us any pizarrones.
That's right. I didn't. That's because people were busy pissing me off on Discord this week.
He's like, no fucking pizzarone for you.
No pizza for you. We'll put meat in all of them.
Dude, Rhett went. I was over there like, God damn.
Encanto's
good.
Playing a shitload of Dead Cells.
Watching a bunch of pimple popping and true crime videos on YouTube.
What? You don't even like Hades, bro.
Yeah, what the fuck? Bro. Stupid.
That's dope. I don't
even like Hades.
Yeah, just same old shit. Just a bunch of same old shit.
All right, you're boring. Yep. Moving on. Riggedy Rhett?
Well, to add to the boringness, I would like to report to you that I watched nothing this week.
Nothing at all?
What?
Because this is the first time in months and months where, like, I'm super busy at work, and I was like, I need to do self-care and do this gym thing because I can't. It's not ever going to happen where it's like, oh, well, I'll do it when I have time. You're not going to have time, so you're going to have to do both.
That's what I'm saying, dude. That's what I've been saying. But it's like, how do you not watch anything? It's like, because, bro, I work out 3 hours a day.
I'm going to watch some shit this weekend.
He's going to catch up.
But no, it was an adjustment week. And yeah, I just I didn't get to nothing this week.
Did you watch the episode?
That's wild.
No. I watched episode 6. Oh, so it debuted, the episode 7 debuted last night or today, right?
So we watched, oh fuck, is it tonight?
Yeah.
Oh bro, cuz episode 6 got caught.
Yeah, watched. Oh, you hadn't watched it last week. It was fucking great. Cuz now it's so layered, dude. It's like, "Oh, so she's woke, but she's not because she fully buys into this bullshit." Mm-hmm. So it's another layer of like cognitive distortion.
Man, if you haven't caught up to Severance yet, or you haven't started it, I cannot recommend it enough. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to hyperbolize shit, but yes, one of the best things I've seen on TV in a while, one of the most original things. It's like Office Space in hell.
Okay. Well, that's kind of dope.
But like Office Space is like...
That's what I was saying, dude.
Oh, yeah, huh?
Shit.
They so, took his stapler.
Nah, never mind. What?
Well, he knows all about it, dude. He's got that cubicle. It's like he's in the office space like every day.
I want to bring you guys. It's not a cubicle.
Dude. I don't want to go to your cubicle.
Bro. It's a nice, safe space.
I feel like it's going to be cramped in there for 3 people.
Process your feelings and feel comfortable.
What is this, workaholics, bro?
This week was workaholics a little bit. I'll tell you that.
Please don't tell me.
Can't talk about it though, dude. Some asshole on Apple reviews is going to get fucking mad about us talking about ourselves.
How dare you have personal
we
lives.
Talk about him now. Now he's like, you know what?
Now they're talking about me. That's review. Dope.
I like that. It's the only show that reviews.
I like that. Hey. Is there a show that does that?
What, reviews?
There's got to be.
Well, kind of. Well, I mean, what?
We kind of do it.
What is this that's guy? Was this a mad ball?
It's a mad ball, but with my pet monster paint. Bro.
That's what I thought.
In the spirit of that, later on when we talk about X, I'm not going to do so much a review of X. I'm going to do a review of your reaction to X.
Oh, we're going to get real meta with it.
Yeah, because that's what we have to do. So,
well, I mean, it depends.
He's being quiet.
It depends which direction it goes. So, yeah, we're caught up on Severance as of yesterday. So, Prison Break continues to be awful.
Was this court ordered? Like, you have to watch it?
So now they've escaped, right? And they're on the lam, so to speak. And
why don't you escape?
Into Prison Break.
Yeah, I have. I have been escaping into Prison Break. And it's wonderful. And so, you know, there's fucking people losing hands and getting them sewed back on by a vet, which is crazy. There's people being surprised when they get pulled over by the cops and like the cops like want to take them in because they don't have a license. It's pure bliss, dude.
Did you guys ever watch the movie Miami Blues?
No, but I remember that name.
Is that the I Don't Want Your Life?
No, that's Varsity Blues.
That's Varsity. Yeah.
I don't want your life.
No, because it had Juliette Lewis in it, and she had a weird accent. So like,
what about Mobetta Blues?
I seen that.
What about Blues Clues?
Oh, definitely.
I've seen that.
What about the movie Clue?
It's garbage.
I've seen that.
That's you getting such a strong reaction to Clue. Oh, fuck that.
This guy's got really good articulation.
It's 32 points of articulation.
You could like make him twerk, bro.
Did you see his ass?
Yeah, you can make him twerk, and his feet are flat on the floor.
But did you see his ass?
Yeah.
Look at that thing. He's got a fucking badonkadonk,
dude. That's a greed, an ultra greed butt. Right,
that's an egregious ass.
Yeah.
It's an egregious ass.
That's dope. I like.
All right, cool. Well, what's the news, my dude?
Well, Panos Cosmatos, the director of stuff like Beyond the Black Rainbow, and most notably Mandy.
Most notably.
Which...
Still not better than Don't Breathe.
Yeah. That's an egregious view. That's a twofer right there.
You know what's an egregious view? Mandy.
It's really fucking really good. In fact, it's like getting better every day.
I keep getting older and Mandy keeps getting better.
He's doing some kind of sci-fi horror thing called Necrocosm with A24, and it probably will be super dope. So start getting excited now. And
why'd you slip into this?
It's not like it's Moonfall, bro.
Well, no, well, not what could be, what is, you know? You know?
You're so stupid.
And then there is a new trailer. There was a teaser a month or two ago, probably just a month. It feels like 2 months, for Alex Garland's new A24 movie, Men. Now is there... There's a new trailer for it. And Jorge, you haven't seen it, but I would recommend you check it out.
I'll just watch the movie when it comes out.
You're an Alex Garland guy?
I am.
What did he do?
He did Ex Machina and he did Annihilation. And he wrote a bunch of stuff before that, like 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later. He wrote the book,
Weeks
The Beach.
Weeks wasn't so good, dude.
He did Sunshine. And the script of Weeks was definitely not the not good part. The script was dope. That thing was... I like, you know, we did that
opening
on the
show. Scene is...
I like Weeks
one
better
than one of the best. One of the best.
I'm down with Alex Garland, dude.
Fuck yeah, you are, bruh.
Yeah. So there's some other news. Oh, Robert Eggers. Eggers.
I saw the trailer.
Oh, dude, for The Northman?
For The Northman.
What do you think?
I think it looks real good.
No, dude, it looks like action. I don't like action. I like slow drama.
Who is he being right now? I don't know who this character
Seaver.
Is. Oh, it's Seaver?
He said that. I don't like action. I like slow drama.
Well, he doesn't either. That's the problem.
That's not true. Dude, that's a broad, stupid-ass statement.
Well, but that's what he does.
What?
I don't like action movies.
It's not what he says.
Generally.
Yeah, but then he says, I like slow drama.
I don't.
It's like, dude, there's a difference.
Oh, between... I don't.
Yeah, like, dude, you just, never mind. But it looks good.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah. Well, speaking of. And Bjork looks fucking Bjork.
She's Bjorking it up.
Yeah, they didn't need to show much of her on screen because it was like, okay, that's enough.
Is
that's
she pretty... dressed like a bird?
No, she's dressed, no, she's like a witch. She's like a what's it
An
called?
An Icelandic witch princess.
Exactly.
So she's Bjork.
She's like a.
So, yeah, basically.
Exactly.
What
She's
other...
like, oh, I'm doing an ancient pagan instead of neo-pagan. Okay,
cool. Dope. What trailers did you guys get before X? Because I have some opinions.
I feel like I got a bunch, did but you get I don't nope. remember them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I hadn't seen a single thing
really?
About Nope, because I've been kind of avoiding it, and that looks...
Oh,
it,
man.
It looks like the opposite of Nope. It looks... Dope.
Yeah, it's more like dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, in the theater, audibly, a little louder than I intended.
You went, ah!
No, I told Sophia near the end of the trailer the first time we saw it.
I was like, all, this is great.
I was all, more like dope. And then like, that thing ended. It drew a couple chuckles.
You're so
It could be a complete misfire. That's the thing with him, because he swings for the fences so hard with his ideas.
Swings for the fences.
And he's like, oh, I'll call it Nope, which is another potential like disaster idea, but it'll probably go just fine. And he, you know, it's this imagery too. It has those fucking...
The wacky wavy inflatable...
The wacky wavy hand things. Guys. Yeah, in the middle of nowhere on the road. And it's like, oh, this is kind of unsettling.
I love it because, like, you know it's going to be some innocuous bullshit. Like, there's a wacky wavy inflatable guy who's like a salesman. And he's like, can I just put some of those on your land?
It's such a weird tease, though.
Yeah.
Because you're like, what's the content?
Yeah, it's so good. It's such a good little touch.
Yeah.
I love it. What other trailers did you get? Well, you won't remember.
I honestly, I don't remember at the moment either.
Did you see Christina Ricci's coming back to play Wednesday Addams on
That's
a Netflix
a mistake.
Show?
I did see that. I don't know if it's a mistake.
And Catherine Zeta-Jones is playing Morticia.
It's a hella mistake.
I mean,
can we
I
just kind of like that. Man? That's what I said, but now I'm like, okay, at least you're getting those chicks.
Kill these franchises.
Yeah. Did whatever happened with Rob Zombie's The Munsters?
It's still happening.
Is it still going or like
it's probably in the can in the editing room, dude.
I hope this can is the trash can.
So do I. But it's dude, awful. Wait a minute. Wait, if you're like into horror, shouldn't you like be excited for that, dude?
No. It's because it's Rob Zombie.
Now, I bet Chris Franco is having a fucking like an internal.
He's just coming buckets.
Well, but is he though? Because he's just not a fan of Rob Zombie.
He loves Rob Zombie.
No, he doesn't.
He totally digs through the ditches and burns through the witches, bro. He does it regularly.
And that's like his best song too, right? Like,
is it?
Well, no, that's bullshit.
I saw this video recently of some old lady doing it at karaoke. It was great.
Oh, More Human Than Human is the best one, right?
Probably. But that's White Zombie.
What?
That's White Zombie.
Yes. That's White Zombie, not Rob Zombie.
You mean to tell me White Zombie is better than Rob Zombie solo, dude?
Yes.
Monumentally better?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
It's like Coheed and Tool, where Coheed is way better.
Just don't do it.
That's a mistake. Don't even. You know what's funny, though? It's kind of fucked up.
Like, they are better, though.
You know,
some 15-year-old's like, they both fucking suck.
Yeah, well, no. What doesn't bode well is that, like, so that dude that's in an ALS coma, like, you know, we found out that, the one of the things he requested was Tool.
The first thing he requested
was a beer.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's like, fuck. Well, that's me, dude.
Yep, there you go. Yeah.
He's all, I just want to relive the good days.
You know what, dude? All I could do right now is crush a beer and listen to Stinkfist,
bro. Well, it could have been like, first person to communicate via brain implant, request meth and Rob Zombie. You know what I mean?
It's all heroin and
bath
ICP.
Salts and Breaking Benjamin.
Can you put on some Velvet Underground, please? Fucking slam me.
What would be like if you could, so the way he has to communicate is literally he can indicate yes or no. That's how he communicates.
Like, and Captain Pike on Star Trek.
And what
the
they
original
have to
series.
Do is they have to sequence through the alphabet. So like A,
oh wow.
No. B, no. C, yes. Okay. A, no. B, no. See, so it takes him like a fucking
hour. It's just
hour.
Like texting back in 1999.
So it takes him like an hour to do like one word. So I was thinking about this and I'm like, bro, like the first thing you go for is like, I want a beer. Fuck. Do you think they gave him a beer?
Probably.
How would they give it to him?
Oh, is he still in the coma?
Well, he's not in a coma. He's literally like paralyzed by ALS. So his body does nothing.
What do you mean, how would they give it to him? Put it through a tube in his mouth.
Yeah.
Well, but
they got to be able to give him food and fluid.
Yeah, but I wonder.
What they should have done was give him some cheap vodka from a plastic bottle and see how you like that.
Some give him some Popov and fucking play Rammstein.
Yeah. Put on. Okay. Put on Earshot. And some ancient age whiskey.
Wait, what's that fucking? Is Earshot that fucking like Tool light
yeah,
bed?
Yeah.
And he's like, this isn't what I asked for.
We have Tool at home.
How much must I win? Get away!
The whole band's like, oh, this is it.
What would be your request if you were all fucking?
Bro, the easiest, BJ, done. Can you imagine if you're in a coma or you're paralyzed, how long has it been since you've had your wang mouthified? That'd be the first
it's
thing.
It's all internal world, though, so it would have to be music. I would.
What does the beer do?
Because that's internal, too. Like, you're feeling it.
Cool. So, like, if I release, then I'm getting, like, the endorphin release.
I mean, that is interesting to think. Can he still...
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
His blood still circulates just because his muscles don't work.
Yeah, but that's he may still be able to get down.
That's just the Cockenstein, though. You know what I mean?
That's the base level fucking...
Hell yeah. Needs.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying it sucks.
I
think you might get really depressed after you come. You'd be like,
why?
It's
like, damn, I could have had a Tool album.
I want to see some tits. I want to grab them. Right? You got to go with the intangibles. Like, you know, just like, that's just going to remind me of the flesh.
You just get them knocked around your face.
This flesh.
Somebody fucking has the wrong album on. It's all, give me fuel, give me fire, give me that.
It ain't my bitch.
Yeah, put on that one.
Yeah. It's out of my way.
It's like, he fucking has to go through the whole alphabet to just say, fuck.
Put on the hot dog flavored water, please.
Oh my God. Or if they're like, Tool? Okay, well, how about... How about opiate, too? He's like, no!
For real, that's a niche one.
That's good.
I don't know, dude.
What
I,
would you ask? What would you ask for? That's a good question. That's
you got to make it a short word, too.
That's like the 21st century desert island question. You
know? It's, I mean, you'd have to ask for an album that is start to finish, like, cohesive, right?
Well, not just... Yeah, yeah, go on.
And so, I'm down with my man. I'd throw on Lateralist, dude. That'd be a good pick.
Throw on who?
Lateralist.
Oh, well, see, that's Lateralist would be a good one. It's like for that.
Yeah.
Like it's like you said when you sent me the text, imagine being this beast. It's like, yeah, he's like, fuck, I'm paralyzed and I communicate through my brain. They made this album for that. So, okay. Yeah. You know, it's sensory deprivation.
Start
music.
With fucking Lateralist and spiral out from there.
I would go with King Crimson's Red.
Oh.
I really do, because that's like the most interior album from... I like that album a lot.
At least you recognize.
I do. I do, but it's like, it's the right word. But yeah, it's also visceral. God. And some fucking... no drugs, because I'm sober. But.
You're still sober as a...
Of course, man. I've asked myself, if it went to Mad Max land, and there's no AA and no recovery, I'm definitely, definitely staying sober, because if we're going to be chopping heads, I need to be sober.
Do you?
Yeah.
I figured you want to be fucked. Like
me being fucked, I almost died without Mad Max. So with Mad Max, I'm fucked immediately.
Yeah, but then you could just do more drugs, like more insane drugs.
Well, no, I don't think it's going to work for Mad Max, there wouldn't be that many drugs available.
Blackout drinking in Mad Max is not good.
That's true.
You need to be able to walk.
Or drive.
Or drive.
Well, I mean, you're in a desert. What
yeah,
are you
so
hit?
You can, you, yeah, exactly. You can
if
drive
anywhere.
If I was
anywhere. Near blackout, I mean, that could take me pretty far.
Yeah.
But it's always the thing of staying near blackout where you don't give a fuck and you're unstoppable.
Having, and yeah, it's impossible. The like having two Mad Dog 2020s, like when you're at that level.
Dude, it's not good.
No, Mad Dog was the shit. I brought him that for his birthday.
And it hung out for like 4 years.
I would have drank it and you wouldn't let me.
Because it was a relic.
Hell yeah. The bling bling blue raspberry, dude. That's the fancy one.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if we have no other news, let's get to a quick break and then we'll talk about a movie.
I forgot to mention Robert Eggers.
You can mention it right now.
Robert Eggers still wants to do a Nosferatu remake. With Anya Taylor-Joy and Willem Dafoe.
I still want to do Anya Taylor-Joy.
Of course. Yeah. And Willem Dafoe as Nosferatu.
That would work.
I see
that
the similarities.
Rather well.
He probably is fucking Nosferatu.
Right.
At least travel. A vampire of some kind.
Yeah. So I think that's a very good pairing of material and director. And I hope that occurs.
He would be like the least sexy vampire.
Yeah, probably.
I didn't know the history about that film, too, where the estate of the Stoker estate, the whole reason that movie is called Nosferatu, they had to change all the stuff because they didn't have permission from the Stoker estate to make the movie at the time in the 30s. It's a German expressionist film, and so they are like, fuck it, we'll call it Nosferatu, we'll change this. But it's like a lot of the same story beats and everything. But so that's why that film and they won a lawsuit, so it meant that all the prints of the movie had to be destroyed, but a couple prints survived. So the reason that people know about the movie today at all is because of those survived prints. So it's kind of like the first cult film because it was supposed to be destroyed. Isn't that kind of interesting?
It is very interesting.
Yeah. So basically, you know, I'm an expert. Wikipedia.
Should have brought that up during Vampire Month, dude.
Dude, I mean, Vampire Month never ends, dude.
Oh, because it's eternal, like a vampire.
Because it's horror, dude. Oh. All things horror.
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 It's a horror. All right, we'll be right back. I don't have any energy for the rest of the show. My God.
We got it. Maybe we should turn the lights down.
We got so much like giggles. And
I got... My adrenaline just dumped real hard. Holy shit,
That was a great break. It was a fun break.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
Now that we're back, guess what?
We're fucking back.
You know what you need to do?
Tell these fools about the Patreon. That's what you need to do.
Well, you know, sometimes when you... Fuck yeah. Give him a dose of his own medicina.
Yeah, do it.
Sometimes when you go to school and, you know, you have a sack lunch and your mom packs you a sandwich and you bite that sandwich off and it's bologna, but you really were hoping for tuna fish. Be our tuna fish, because sometimes tuna fish costs a lot and sometimes it costs a little. So we need people that will give us a little bit of tuna fish or a lot of bit of tuna fish. You can give...
I hate tuna.
That's irrespective of the point, bro.
Okay.
Oh, okay. You went off your pitch, bro. You got to keep going.
I can't anymore. Sorry.
I thought he was going to say, like, when you bite into the sandwich, it's bologna. Yeah, that's the Who Goes Their podcast. We're fucking bologna.
Yeah. Go with... Yeah. We're the bologna.
Yeah, dude. We're fucking bologna.
We're processed fucking...
Some people love that shit so much, they would pay for it.
Dude, I actually really like bologna.
If you're a fan of cheesy bologna...
Me too.
Subscribe to the Who Goes Their podcast Patreon. Patreon.com/WhoGoesTheirPodcast.
I try to cook my kids... Spam burgers, like,
ooh, that shit's good.
They were not fans,
bro. Okay, real quick.
Okay,
We get into the review, so I ordered these little rice molding things, mm-hmm, to make.
What is it?
Oh god, I just fucking forgot it. I'll remember it in a minute. Why can't I remember the name? Anyways, but it's like the little Japanese rice things, and it has stuff in them, and you can make them look like kitty cats and stuff. And one of the little molds is for spam masubi. I'm so excited.
Okay, cool. To make spam masubi. I want some spam this weekend.
Down. So down.
Fuck.
Some spam.
Now you gotta make us pizzaron and spam.
Spam and some American slices.
No pizza for you, dude.
Okay. Oof.
No pizzaron for you.
Por qué no? It's a quesaron.
It's not a quesaron, it's a pizzaron.
Por qué no? It's a quesaron. Excuse me while I look up this movie real quick.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
So the Who Goes Their podcast watched 2022's The Who Goes Their Fuck cast. Watched 2022's X, directed and written by Ty West, starring Mia Goth, Jenna Ortega, Brittany Snow, Kid Cudi, which was
Kid Rock,
a little bit of a surprise for me, Martin Henderson, Owen Campbell, Stephen Urey, James Galen, Simon Prost, Jeff Dolan... Dolan fucked her. Matthew Saville and Bryony Skillington.
Breonna Taylor.
Skillington.
What were you saying about skeleton dick earlier?
Well, yeah, Jorge's kid was watching Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah. He was.
With the skeleton D.
With the skeleton D. Never mind.
It's pretty funny.
Never mind. Well, this will be interesting. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
What'd you think of X, bro?
I think Ty West does a really good job of building atmosphere. He's really good at capturing that 70s aesthetic.
Psych!
Already saw with House of the Devil. Mm-hmm. I think it's beautifully shot, but I think it's just okay. I think it's long and boring and slow.
Did you watch it again?
I watched it today.
Okay, so this is much more reasonable than your initial reaction.
Well, because my initial reaction was based off of people like you saying, we should do this with Texas Chainsaw because this is supposed to be a better Texas Chainsaw than Texas Chainsaw.
You are misquoting the fuck out of me.
That's exactly what he said verbatim.
I said, we did do it with Texas Chainsaw because it came out the same month is why.
No, you wouldn't do
that's
that
why
together.
People are doing the comparison because it's within proximity.
People are doing the comparison because they're idiots.
They're doing it for a few reasons. One of them is proximity of release.
Sure.
Ass.
Anyways. I mean, I just honestly, it's more interesting the second time through because you know what's happening and you can pick up on little nuances throughout the movie. It doesn't, to me, it's just a Ty West movie. It looks really nice, but it's slow and lacking. And I think he borrowed too much from other movies. Sorry to be so disappointing.
Rhett, what'd you think of X?
I'm only disappointed because my plan was not to review the movie. It was to review Matt's reaction to the movie. And what he just stated is actually...
It's a little too reasonable.
It's very reasonable. Yeah. So there's nothing... But so now I'll just talk about what I thought of X. And I've only seen one Ty West movie. So I can't be like, which it's just... One? I saw House of the Devil.
See, and that's good.
Yeah, and he's known for the slow burn thing. I get that. And I didn't watch... You know what? That's not true. I started The Innkeepers.
That's not true.
It's not good.
I started it, but this is before I got sober, to be fair. It was late at night. I was drinking like some fucking trash. And I was smoking some weed. And I was like, this is not the movie for 2 a.m. when you're trying to get fucked up.
I was drinking some alcohol and smoking some weed.
And anyway, so I haven't seen the other stuff. I too appreciated how it was shot. I appreciated the atmosphere, the recreation of time and place. I mean, there was really meticulous detail, like in the store.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, it's they pull up and it's like gas is 69 cents. It's like, yeah. But then you look at everything on the shelves. It's like, wow, it's really time appropriate.
It really is, and it's not. That's the thing about these movies like that when they are these independent films without huge budgets. Like, for them to give that level of care and craft that stuff, it goes a long way with atmosphere. You know, because, yeah, like you said, the shelves, like everything on there was time appropriate, it looked like. But I just want to talk about those shelves. Can we talk? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, there was no.
George is like, I've been wanting to start a Shelf Talk podcast, bro. Yeah,
we could review the products. It was Wonder Bread.
Well, let me tell you, was the wood that looked like they used on the shelves, was that time appropriate for your understanding of that kind of?
Yeah, I mean, it was a very time appropriate wood. Yes.
The brackets, however, were not.
Brackets were from IKEA.
I really appreciated. It's continuing a conversation, my understanding of what I got from it on one viewing. It's continuing a conversation started in the late 70s and carrying on into the early 80s with films like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but not only Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But the conversation I got really is it takes certain tropes like the sex and slashers things and it exaggerates them. So instead of it just being sex, they're shooting a porn. And now we can like do this kind of thing about the intersection of slashers with porn. Where it's like,
you're right. It really turns that like the horny ones die first on its head because fucking everyone's horny.
Everyone's horny.
Yeah.
Including the old except people. Yeah. The least horny guy was the one that died first.
Yeah. Which is interesting. And he's killed by a lady who just wants to fuck.
He's killed by an old white bitch.
Well, I don't. That's the thing.
You know what's funny? Everyone was killed by an old white bitch.
That's right. True. For the most part.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Which is a total... It didn't feel like some revolutionary subversion, but once you think about it, it's like it kind of... It's not revolutionary, but it's definitely subverting things. But one of the things porn and slashers have in common to me is there's kind of these filler things.
Can we stop saying slasher? Because I don't feel like this is slasher like at all.
Well, it's nonetheless continuing the conversation. But I think it's very much in the vein of a late 70s slasher.
Yeah, I mean, I think that...
In the second half, they kill everybody.
I think if you're adamantly trying to defend this, like, it's not a slasher, I think you're a little off.
And that's not even... I don't really care what genre you want to call it. What I'm saying is it's referencing the slasher genre and the porn thing. And both of those have a thing in common. Sex and death, which is libido mortito stuff with the slasher thing. But... They have these filler things where it's like, okay, this is all filler until you give me what you want, what I want. In porn, it's I want fucking, and in slasher movies, it's I want death and I want murder and I want kills, and they intersect there. It's intersecting there, and it's kind of exploring that. The other big thing I got was it explores this idea of the generation gap as the elderly and the young, especially in this country. And
when
I think
you know what they say about the young.
You know what they say about the young.
You know what they say about the young.
As mortal enemies to each other. And that's not a natural thing, especially in America, though. That's very much the thing. And I think it's like this kind of examination of when you have these old evangelical values that are based on repression, and then you have this reactive new generation that's based on personal freedom and sexual liberation, but it's still empty. Like, yeah, they're just mortal enemies to each other. And it's both just two forms of nihilism. They are supposedly opposed to each other. And it's like...
Supposedly opposed.
And that's what I got from it. So I think it's doing some interesting stuff. Here's the thing. All that stuff I set aside, I don't love the movie. I don't love the movie. I'd give it like 3.5 out of 5. And I'm saying that, you know, because I don't think it does anything wrong particularly. I don't think it's too slow. I think
it's definitely too slow.
I didn't feel that because I felt a lot of the parts that might be slow, like when they're talking about sex and when the girl who is from Scream, what's her name again?
There was a girl from Scream.
Yeah, the camera operator's girlfriend.
Oh, Jenna Ortega.
Yeah, she wants to be part of the. She wants to do a scene, and all of a sudden, you know, her boyfriend's a prude because he's possessive. I thought there was a lot of stuff going on in that scene where it's examining that about possessiveness and about, like, you know, like the guy's like, oh, I'm making art and this and this. It's like okay,
and she's like, no, we're fucking.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like I wanna be part. I wanna be part of the art too. Why don't you want me part of that?
I enjoy more of this, more scenes than I do the entire movie, because it does feel like a collection of scenes as opposed to like a cohesive film to me. I think the porn stuff, like, you know, the over sexual stuff, I think is done well. I think it does those scenes pretty effectively. The kills are all pretty fun, but otherwise, like the interstitial stuff, I'm finding myself losing interest in a lot of what's going on. Again, I agree that it is filmed well. There's good direction going on by Mr. West.
Kanye West,
dude, he directed this.
You can only watch X by getting a
by actually a filming a flesh, by actually filming a porno.
It's a fleshlight that once you stick your cock in, separates all the sperm from your semen, and then it gives you a mirror to each one of their faces.
Oh, you actually get to see like your children in the abstract.
Yes.
And so
your unborn children.
I can honestly say I did not like this movie, but there are things that I did enjoy about it. I'm super grossed out by these fucking old people fucking on a bed.
The prosthetics were not mission accomplished.
I will say this. I think that's the point. I think that, like, that's the actual point of these old fuckers fucking. But also, it's kind of like, we're all going to be old and we're all going to exactly be gross.
Yeah, and I'm still going to be fucking.
It's kind of this bittersweet thing.
Yeah.
It's sad. There's a sad thing to this that doesn't make it feel like a slasher to me.
My favorite scene, and as corny as it is, when Homeboy is playing Landslide, and you see, you know,
how sad she is.
The old woman just sort of like trying to like make it through, like getting to bed. Like that stuff is it. That scene in particular. Well, it's because
she
effective.
Had just been rejected by her husband. Like she had tried to get the fuck on, and he was like, "Girl, I can't." Like, see, but also like,
if why I would fuck, you I'll die?
Why would you want to? Like, and I don't even mean because of how she looks. I mean because of how fucking gross their house is. Like, how could anybody, like, put themselves in a situation where they could feel attractive and sexy when there's, like, grime and fucking mold and shit everywhere?
But that's you, dude.
That's not me. My house is clean, dude.
Welcome to my house. We don't have to go out.
Not like you guys have ever been to my house. No, just saying.
Well.
That's false.
These fucking guys.
That's false.
You've been there, like, 6 months ago when I moved in.
That's a falsehood.
This guy's never been there.
Is it a house?
Zip zop.
There you go. What was I saying? I don't know.
It's just a cubicle, man.
It is.
You graduated from a cubicle to a
storage
corner office.
There we go. Corner office, baby.
Baby.
Moving on up in the world.
I got a window or two.
You know, so one of my problems with the movie was like.
One of them was like.
Based on the last line of the movie, you know that they feel like they're doing something just like transcendent with this. Where the guy brings out the camera and he's like, what do you think's on it? And he's like, well, judging by what's going on, I'd say one goddamn fucked up horror picture. You know they think they made a really fucked up horror movie.
No, that's not what I got from
that. I don't think they did. Again, at all.
Well, Matt, that's the thing. If you look at, not everything's intentional, but things end up becoming a cultural artifact again. So that whole 70s period with slashers.
I mean,
those are expressing.
Slashes were more the 80s, but okay.
Well, they start, I mean, with you. With the late, well, start with, you know, TCM is not, I get it. And then Halloween is when it started hitting its stride and then building up to Friday the 13th. And Friday the 13th is 80, right?
Or 81. Like 80 or 81, yeah.
You know, it's that whole little 10-year thing right there. Late 70s, early 80s. But it's expressing, again, it's expressing like this. These dynamics that are going on there between, you know what they say about the young, you know what I mean? And about these puritanical values that are dying, like no sex before marriage and all these things that, like, you know, were precedents for previous generations. And then like all this fucking shit, you know, they were seeing Vietnam and all the bloodshed over there. So they're like, you know, just fucking let's see this stuff. Let's see the gore. Let's see this stuff. And so,
but ultimately we don't. Like,
so I don't think that line is referring just to the movie. I think it's referring to what's going on. Like this is a goddamn fucked up horror picture.
You know what I mean? So what you're saying, what's happening there versus like what we as an audience just watched.
Well, I'm saying what's happening, what's happened in the world, what's happened in the country, what's happened. It's an expression of that. Do you get what I'm saying?
It's all happening, dude.
It's all happening.
Oh, you mean so it's a metaphor, dude?
Not a metaphor. No, but I'm saying, dude, that's what I mean.
I don't get those.
Phil, you do get those. You fucking, dude, go listen to your episode of with the shoes and shit, dude, okay?
My episode?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah, that was this Matt episode.
That was great.
Quintessential Matt episode.
No, I'm saying people work these things out. Just like when you have dreams and your subconscious is working out your shit, like people have art and culture and it's working out the society's dreams, like, so to speak. So when you got fucking slashers and stuff, it's people are, whether they're meaning to or not, they're trying to work out the issues here. Does that make sense?
No. No, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
There's a reason this popped up in the 70s and not in the 60s.
Well, that's because Ty West likes that fucking aesthetic.
Yeah. Well, and it's an important time period.
You've seen House of the Devil. Like, so see, that's another thing. Is like, I feel like a lot of this movie was borrowed from other movies. It's like, he's just like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a clip from every movie that I love and put it in this movie.
Yeah, I got parts of I Spit on Your Grave there. Yep. But that's, again, though, I have to...
There's like Fulci where he gets the thing through the eye. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, how it was done. And that's the thing. I have to commend it. And also, like, I feel similar to you, believe it or not. I'm kind of like, it's not particular... There's nothing really... What's original here is his approach to the material. But he's doing these homages, but they're somewhat subtle, but they're actually really well. That's the thing. For you to notice them like that you can notice it's a Fulci reference, or you could notice it's I Spit on Your Grave, where it's not a... This isn't a rape revenge movie, but you could just notice because of the way the shot's fucking done and the way the atmosphere is.
But see, so that's like, that speaks to his ability as like a director, or like, you know,
scene composition.
Scene composition. But like, that doesn't make the movie good. To me, that's just like, well, okay, well.
Yeah, nobody's arguing
it's
that.
Just, yeah, you're think. Just copy pasting a bunch of stuff.
I was actually agreeing with, he said that he feels like he copied a lot of stuff from other movies, which I agree. But he references them very well. So if he's an imitator, he's imitating very fucking well.
Well, and he also imitated himself, because like one of the best... What's the best part of House of the Devil?
That's called masturbation, dude.
What's the most memorable part of House of the Devil?
Like the sacrifice scene, right?
Nah, the gunshot in the graveyard. You got the babysitter. So like, he basically copied from himself when he did that gunshot. Like, it's the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, okay, there it is. That's the House of the Devil gunshot, where everything's all quiet and there's just like a moment that's just broken with this loud gunshot, and then there's a character that's dead out of nowhere.
That's right.
And everything in this is foreshadowed. When you watch it a second time, like, the old man at one point says like, oh, you know, it's dark, I'm worried my wife's gonna fall down and break her hip. Ultimately she dies by like breaking her hip, you know, and like all of that stuff happens throughout the movie. Like when the lady gets eaten by the gator, like that's foreshadowed earlier.
But see, that what I would tell you about that is I feel like that stuff is earned. So I think Ty West knows how to build tension very well.
when you've got that scene where Homegirl is like swimming away, you know, swimming onto the dock, and
it's
the,
fucking the, great, and the overhead shots.
It's a great shot. It's,
and her
it's
eyeshadow.
It's beautifully done, and you know, it's also kind of played for comedy at the same time. There was like three or four times where I'm like, Ty West has a eye and a he's got comedic timing. He's getting it.
Dude. Very dry.
Yeah,
and very dry.
I think that if as long as he keeps improving his technique, I think he's got I mean, I know, dude. He's not a new director. He's been doing shit for a decade now.
Yeah, at least.
But
well,
this shows incredible leaps and bounds to what he's normally known for.
I would agree with that based on what I saw with House of the Devil personally. No, because he's doing a lot more. He's doing a lot more stuff here. Again, though, this is like when I said earlier, I don't love the film. It's hard for me to pinpoint exactly why that is, but I think I respect the movie. I respect the movie quite a bit, and it's just subjectivity. It's not my wheelhouse, really. You know.
I feel like there's nothing really for you to hold on to, like
conceptually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because like
I mean, then what it's saying though, under the surface or kind of overtly. There's certain scenes, Matt, like that are very expressionistic, like where she's killing the fucking dude, the cuck.
Yeah, so I kind of hated that scene.
See, I loved that because it was like
that's interesting.
The fucking
why?
Well, because it was, dude. That was great. That's like it was an artful slasher.
See,
scene.
And that's what I hated. I'm like, okay, see, here we are. Like, why do we need to add this thing?
But it's
like,
not, I guess that's the thing, though. Like, there's a practical reason for the lighting.
So I'm really unclear.
Expand on this.
So I guess I'm really unclear about like a lot of why I'm supposed to fucking care. Like in this movie, you know, so like
I knew you, this is where
no. I mean, like, okay,
the characters.
So it's okay. Yeah. It's like sad that this lady wants to smash, but she can't. And then like, she is just like, first she kills, like you get the idea that they've done this before. So this whole thing is based off of like her just wanting to fuck. And like those motivations just seem really flimsy to me, and then like
when they're not though. That's the life. That's the vitality. That's vitality.
I also think that like when you take like all she wants to do is fuck.
At well, face I mean, value, she wants to feel pretty again. She wants to feel wanted.
She wants to feel alive. Okay, and so you can do that when you're fucking.
So you murder somebody. Faces. Okay, but see, that's the thing. That's my problem. Is like where I'm like with these A24 movies, we always feel like there's like
hold on. There you go.
Hold on. I'm going to say it feels like there's always this artsy stuff added in for like reasons that seem unnecessary. So in this, it's like, you know, everybody talks about like, oh, the gore, and especially with that kill, because arguably that's the most graphic kill of the movie. Just the stab in the throat just felt so lackluster. And then she stabs him a couple more times, and then she dances. Like the dancing, I'm just like, why are you fucking?
She's like a little kid.
She's worried about breaking her hip, and yet she's dancing in the light.
Also, I don't know if that's it. Might be. It's almost surreal. It's almost like a Lynch type scene. But to address something you said real quick, the reason why it doesn't contradict what you're saying. A24 is known for one thing particularly, and it's not interfering with their directors. So if there's all this artsy stuff in A24 movies, it's because they got artsy directors who don't get interfered with. That's why The Witch is The Witch. That's why Ex Machina is Ex Machina. That's why this, for better or worse, is this. And that's why Midsommar is Midsommar. A24 did not say, no, cut an hour of Midsommar, dude. We won't make $100 million this way. They said, yeah, we know we're not. Fucking keep your movie. Half people will hate it. A niche audience will love it. And this is it. But that's why it comes off artsy, because these, you know, they didn't get fucking Michael Bay to do.
God, they should have.
They have real
smash cuts then.
They would. But yeah, I think, I don't know. So that's not like trying to get mad at you for saying what you said, but that makes sense, right? They don't interfere with their directors.
Well, I don't want to keep like fucking like hammering the point too much, but you know, I don't think that the film is like, you know, old people want to fuck just to feel something.
No, I think that's, yeah.
I think it's an exploration of, and it's supposed to be for...
Of the
for,
D.
For, you know, maybe middle-agers, maybe younger than middle-agers, to understand that, like, yeah, man, we're fucking all rotting away slowly. And eventually, like, this is what's going to be it. Maybe you're not going to become a homicidal sex addict. But when you hit fucking 60, 70, 80, these are going to be concerns for you.
What I got from it, too, was, to kind of, like, go along with what you're saying there. This is the 70s. There's no social media or anything like that. But now, you know, it was an afterthought, but... People, there's a lot of exhibitionism in the modern world. You know, people are going on social media and you're putting yourself out there and all that kind of stuff. So that impulse that the young people were having to get on film and get behind a camera and people want their 15 minutes of fame and all that, that's really grown and grown and grown, and it's exponentially grown, and now there's social media. And you have these younger generations that are constantly just putting themselves out there. They're experts at advertising themselves, you know?
And also, like, I understand that it's just porno, but the main character, well, not main character, but Wayne, he's got this great idea. It is a fantastic idea to create, like, a very real and very, like, for lack of a better word, art house porn film, while the tape media, the home video media, is just in its infancy.
Which is kind of a meta joke about making an art house slasher.
Exactly. So yeah. I think that
people are going to not like that.
This is one of those films where I think, like, I'm super into the idea of it and the themes that it's exploring more so than the film itself. And the actual scenes that happen in between the things that are happening, I'm like, okay, well, I know, like, these conversations between, you know, the fucking the old lady and herself, because it's what's her name?
Yeah.
It's what's her name playing.
Those prosthetics, too.
Yeah.
Is that Mia Goth is the old lady?
Yeah. Yeah, she does both.
Did you see the post? Dude, did you see the post credit scene?
Yes, and I loved that. Because you know what that reminded me of? That was almost like Ty West making fun of, like, all of the spinoffs from The Conjuring to me. It was like,
oh. Wait, is that not a real thing?
No, he does want to actually do a prequel.
Dude, because if that... But I got so hyped for that trailer.
The way it was presented, though, was so, like, making to me. Making, and maybe I interpreted it completely wrong. But he's like, yeah, I'll do a spinoff prequel. Well, but he's like, but I'm going to make sure that the fucking trailer looks like... Yeah.
Well, see, I didn't get a chance to look into it, but No Cal Mike was saying that I guess this is a trilogy... Yeah. And so they've already shot Pearl, and that's just what Mike said.
Very exciting. That means he's got some more.
There was some. Well, there's like a prequel thing that
looked dope. Yeah, I am so into that. Like, that looks super, and that I think adds more depth to the character, because that shows that she's just been, like, crazy all along. There's been things going wrong with her head versus, like, oh, she's just some old lady that resents the youth for being sexy and able to fuck still.
You know, I think more than anything, she resents herself as a young person for you know, having these, like, residual feelings of being, like, attracted to her husband. Like, you know, there's that little bit of, like, well, if he can't, you know, if he can't satisfy me, then I've got to have a sex slave in the basement.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? Like, they're stealing women to just, like, flick her bean, right? That's the idea.
The idea. Well, I think that's the idea behind that, like, that Volkswagen Beetle in the lake, where they're showing.
Yeah,
that
they've done history. This before. Yeah.
Why
would they also, like, chain up the dude in the basement? And also, homeboy is worried about, like, having sex stopping his heart, and also her being able to break her hip, yet they can carry a dead weight, full-grown man down into the basement.
Here's where I was...
Hold up, really, to address that. I get the feeling that banter they have is part of the... Him saying he's gonna die... That's not the first time he said that either. This is all part of, like, the cyclical thing they do.
Well,
and
yeah.
Then they get horny once they start killing people, and it riles him up enough to say, I don't care if I die. Like, I'm going to do it. So yeah. The life impulse finally wins out
over him fearing death.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And also, I love when you mention the old people fucking, because the whole thing is like, oh, people love sex. And oh, you, it's like, you like sex, dude?
Until it's this.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah. I thought you liked sex.
Oh, you like sex?
There's a few people in our Discord that are into granny fucking.
Yeah, but the thing is, it shows very clearly. Well, dude, if these guys
had an OnlyFans.
It shows clearly, though, when your values, your views are all about surfaces, when it's about surface level stuff. That's not going to last. It's fucking empty. It's going to be empty. And you're going to, and you know, if they're lucky, they'll get as old as that. Bro, you think
I don't know I'm empty?
Not you. I mean,
you've got it.
I'm not saying it for moral reasons. I'm saying it for, because the,
it's reality. You bring up a great point that if you are lucky, you are that old and you still want to fuck your husband.
Exactly.
Like, that's the thing where it's like.
They actually still kind of, that's what I mean. They have an attraction.
Yeah. Yeah.
They found a way.
Where if you hit 80 and you're like this, you know,
they don't want to have shit to do with each other for 30 years and they stay together. Yeah. That's nihilistic. That's really nihilistic, actually. You know, where they don't even talk.
I will say this. I got a little bit deceived by the makeup. So I was half expecting, and this is me being who I am. Mm-hmm. I was half expecting these killings to be part of a ritual. Where homegirl gets younger.
I thought so too, especially when she danced in the blood.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't do that.
I thought that was going to be if...
Well, that was the feeling she was getting, though.
Well, that's what I mean. So then I don't understand why they didn't use an actual elderly person instead of throwing makeup on Mia Goth.
Unless they had the plan to do the prequel all along and they needed her to be able to play...
Which I think is a great idea.
Yeah.
It's make me, he's made Mia Goth like his muse for the X.
His Sherry Moon zombie.
Cause also he's not just going to explore this genre of horror and how it intersects with porn and this time period. Now he's going to explore this other thing and this earlier time period. You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's doing like something that's actually in this subtle way, kind of historically ambitious. Yeah,
people were like, "Oh, you can build atmosphere for the 1970s, but can you do like the 1910s, dude? But
can you do this
exactly?"
Yeah, and he's like, "Bitch, hold my martini."
Yeah, he's like, "By the time we get to the 1910s, you'll be cool with it. But if I started in the 1910s, you would bitch."
Yeah.
So let me start with the 70s.
Mia Goth is married.
I think that was the tricky pull right now.
Or dating
Mortimer Goth. Mortimer Goth.
What do you mean?
She's married to Mortimer
Goth. What does that mean?
It's Mortimer Goth.
What?
For real?
Mortimer Goth.
That's a mistake.
Is that a real thing?
Mortimer Goth is a real thing, yeah.
You're spinning the yarn.
I'm not.
That's pure cuckery.
It's pure garbage. That's not a real thing. She's married to Shia LaBeouf, or at least dating Shia LaBeouf. Is that Mortimer Goth?
No.
What the fuck are you talking about? There's a Mortimer Goth. Make more sense. Make it make sense. I don't have
to. He can't do it
right now.
David Byrne said, "Stop making sense."
You're fucking infuriating, man.
I know. That's the fun part.
But yeah, I'm with you, Matt. I don't know that this is a good movie or an enjoyable movie. But I will say, Ty West is growing as a director and as a visionary.
I think it's a very good movie. I just don't love it.
Mm-hmm. I don't love that they tease a Jenna Ortega sex scene and then we get nothing.
You know what? Again.
Nothing.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Let me.
How could I not mention that? Come on, dude,
come on now.
Like, dude, why does she need to join? Oh, why does she need to join the movie? Like, they could have found another way to chase MHB off of there, and then, you know, like,
because it's not still not that trash, dude. Like, it's not, it does something infinitely better to me.
Does it?
Yes. It shows her when she's holding the boom mic and she's watching the fucking,
she's getting kind of into
you
it.
You see her getting horny, and that is hot. That's way fucking hotter, because she was not into this and had problems with it, and you see her opening up to it. That's
I want kind of, to see her.
That's
up.
Fucking.
Yeah, I think you're right, man. I think when you're seeing like the actual sex happening. Yeah, it's like
you're a trick.
Sorry. Like the when the actual sex is on screen, you're like, yeah, this is like this is two attractive people having sex. Like, cool, show me something different. But that, you know, that bit where she's just like on the bed and then it's nothing. That's more evocative of your imagination than the previous two scenes.
And we saw Mia Goth. Who is, she's the ex.
Dude.
By the way, let's look
at Jenna Ortega is 100% my flavor.
Yep. It, well, regardless
isn't of the flavor. Isn't everybody though?
No.
Here's the thing. What do you guys think of the title? Because it sat with me and it really started getting clearer for me, honestly, the last few days. Because he said you got that X factor, right?
What was the X factor? Well, she was just a preacher's daughter?
Well, it's a lack of eyebrows.
The X factor to me was that she wanted the camera and was willing to bear, like, just be a complete exhibitionist. She had this ruthlessness to her. And by the end of the film, we see that she also has the capacity to just murder indiscriminately. That's the X factor. So it's like, it's not just that you're sexy and you're not afraid of that and you're willing to embrace that.
I mean, but you're sexy also, and you know it.
You're sexy and you know it and you'll fucking kill people. That's the X factor.
See, so watching it the second time, I really was able to notice how much or how often they splice in the preacher throughout the thing.
A lot.
And how it's obvious he's talking about his daughter the whole time.
And look,
that
dude,
was great. Yeah.
Ty West has an eye for editing, dude. When you've got those half second preacher, half second what's going on in real life, and it flips back and forth really quickly.
Oh yeah, they did those. Thank you, man. That scene transition.
That stuff when they're going from one scene to the next and they're showing that like that stuttery filmy thing. I know you've already.
The timing's perfect.
I know you said it's an A24 film and it's an art house thing, but
no, that's cool. That one's good.
But if that's what Ty West is bringing to the table for an A24 film, he's doing it right and doing it right.
Doing it well. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Well,
I do not like that it's the preacher's daughter reveal. I'm out.
I mean, it works like through a second viewing because like you see the little like bits of nuance being delivered through the preacher and how it like how his sermon is like basically there's a lot of stuff that deals with mirroring here, you know, like you have the lemonade scene where it's like what's happening in the porno is mirroring what's happening in the living room.
Great stuff.
Right. And like how comfortable the porno is versus how uncomfortable the people in real life are. And like, so I had little George nitpicky moments in this.
What you're saying is you love this film.
You think it's a masterpiece.
Like when she's trying to cuddle with her all naked and she's like rubbing her hand on her. I'm like, she killed that guy a long time ago. The blood on her hand would have been dried, and it definitely would not be that much of it.
You know what? So there was, this movie's fucking boring.
So there was a lot of those little moments where I'm like, you have continuity problem. Like the fact that she can barely walk, and then she was able to shove an entire pitchfork through the wall, and then like basically run around the building.
Let me stop you there. All of it is garbage if you're talking about an 80-year-old frail woman. Yeah. All of it.
If you're taking
it so fucking literally that like this woman is going to break her hip. Of course I am. No, you're not.
Nah.
No. Dude, that's not you.
The fact that the husband is so like cool with just like shooting people and like gators eating people, but he gets a death gargle and his heart stops. Come on.
A what?
Come on.
What?
Come on.
A gargle?
Yeah. When Jenna Ortega does a little death rattle when they're about to carry her inside.
She does a great scream in the house, too.
She's money, dude. She is straight money. Best one in the whole movie, too.
Yeah. So you're saying you like Scream now?
I mean, she's the best part of Scream.
Dude, we saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre 22. Of course we like Scream now. Like, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Ty West.
Sorry,
yeah.
Scream.
Scream.
You can come back now.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I guess you couldn't expect it from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I was going to say, aesthetically, this is more Texas Chainsaw than Texas Chainsaw.
That's what I was saying.
But it's...
A big factor, the use of natural lighting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay, see, that's another thing is the movie was very dark for a lot of it,
which is totally cool.
There was parts of it where I was just felt like I was
in the house.
I felt like they were doing it just to hide how bad the prosthetics were.
Nah,
and like,
well, that helps,
and hide the fact that they were body doubles for a lot of the thing because a lot of the time, like, I think the boyfriend, I think Mia Goth's boyfriend was the old man as well.
Let's find out.
Because I'm sure that wasn't an actual old man.
What was the old man's name?
Good night, old man.
I don't know.
Howard?
I don't know. Is that it? I don't think anybody else was named Howard.
It is not. It is not him. But
is it an actual old man or is it a young guy?
No, it's Steven Yure.
Because the two scenes or the scenes between those two, the two men, you have a lot of instances where you don't see their faces in the same shot, except for like when they're standing by the.
I think the husband's makeup is far better than Mia Goth's.
Oh,
makeup.
Absolutely.
I'm almost wondering. I'm almost wondering if that was intentional, the kind of shitty makeup. But then I go, what's the point? What are you trying to tell me? Which is why I was like, oh, dude, she's going to get younger. That's supernatural, dude. And I would have been upset. I would have been like, fuck you. Come on. It's you know.
I would have been upset, too. I'm glad they didn't go that
direction.
I mean, she symbolically gets younger.
That's what I mean. That's how she felt. Like she's in the blood.
Yeah, you don't like that dance scene, but I think that dance scene is super.
To be honest, like I like before the dance scene a lot. Here's what I like, and it may sound like a small thing.
Did make my skin crawl, the right before the dance scene where she's like trying to kiss on his neck and shit.
Yeah, and I like that the blood sprays in front of the car lights, and it's red all over the car lights, and what it bathes everything in is in this red light, and there's a reason for it to be there. I like that. I like, because it's like in all the years of horror movies, I haven't seen that happen.
You just don't watch enough horror movies, because that's definitely a nod as well.
I haven't seen it.
That's what I'm telling you. It's a nod. It's not original.
Even if it is a nod, it's a good nod. It's a good nod. Nod your head to this.
Well, what isn't a nod in 2022?
I mean, everything in this movie is a nod, pretty much.
Which is okay.
This is a meta-textual film. It's just not like...
your meta-textual,
wait, when you said this is more similar to Texas Chainsaw Massacre in its aesthetic?
Yeah. Well, so there was some... were some shots that felt like they were specifically taken out of Texas Chainsaw. Like the one where it's from inside the house... where they're doing it right next to the staircase, looking out the front door.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's almost just like an identically mirrored shot to some shots in Texas Chainsaw.
Prove it.
I mean, like, how?
I dare you to prove it.
Look at me presenting with my hands. I'm not going to look it up on my fucking phone.
Ever present to me ever in your life.
Bro, I'm presenting to you all the time. Face down, ass up. Come get some. Come kiss my asshole with your tongue out.
Boy. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think that it's neither as good or as bad as the internet has said.
Yeah, I don't think it's deserving of all the praise. I don't get all the praise. Like, I mean,
I do. Well, when you look at what else is around, dude.
Well, I know. I mean, I feel like the reviews, not even close, like similar to last week's review, where it's like, okay, well, it looks good, but what else?
This is Ty West's Malignant, and although it wasn't quite as effective as Malignant,
it wasn't nearly as bananas either.
I think it might be as effective. I just don't like it as much because Malignant's fucking.
Also, was she a horny sundowner? Is that what's going on?
That's the other thing, dude. I think that when we explore like the sundowning and like the dementia aspect of this, it's a whole different deal.
So instead of going crazy, she just wants to fuck. She's like a whore wolf.
Well,
a werewolf?
Dementia, as far as I know,
well, that's kind of what all those
is a fucking insidious disease.
Oh yeah,
like, it is. Insidious, your favorite movie, dude?
No, dude,
that shit's The Conjuring,
bro.
For a mainstream horror movie, PG-13, Insidious is dope.
Dementia is one of the along with ALS and any of these diseases that like lock you into yourself are horrific diseases. And I do think that Ty West is showing us a little bit into that world where, you know, we all saw The Visit
Visit was kind of good.
Shyamalama Ding Dong directing.
I didn't see The Visit.
Really? And it's not bad.
That's what I heard.
This explores stuff.
Fuck him.
About sundowning without being very obvious about it. It wasn't like, hey, dude. It's 7 o'clock. These people go crazy at 7 o'clock. Like it's just like, hey, it's this bitch is nuts. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, she's nuts for butts.
She's butts for nuts.
Also,
she's nuts for dicks.
Dig how Jenna Ortega's screaming. You know, because she's very endearing until she's not. Once she starts screaming, she doesn't stop. She's like, and it's like, shut the
she
fuck up.
She needed to do
shut
more
up.
Moaning
and then all of a sudden
screaming.
She walks out the front door, just fucking
dead.
Dead.
Yeah.
Right very refreshing.
Face. Right
you know?
In the face. Yeah.
Well, we're, you know, it's a cool scene because you're like, oh, they're going to team up and fucking handle these old people.
Yeah,
nope,
fuck
Jenna
that.
Ortega is going to be a nut and not be able to handle shit.
She got blasted like in the face off camera, and then she got blasted in the face on camera.
Yeah, it's not going to help you out. If she had ridden more dick, she would know how to handle that situation.
God, like, for real. Even if she would have just like,
or
she would have
like,
just held the boom mic nude.
No, that's staying in.
But you see what, I think that's the point it's trying to make. She just was not prepared for this level of visceral intensity.
Yeah.
And that's X. What?
Yeah, I also wanted to kind of like explore the idea of this boyfriend who, you know, he's in this environment where he's filming a porno. His girlfriend wants to be in on it, and he's like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
That scene where he's like crying in the shower, I'm like, you fucking little cuck.
You little cuck.
It's a great scene though. And then later on,
the scene
where he's like, him, no, that was good.
When the guy tells him, oh, I hate to be the one to tell you this, none of them are good girls. It's like, because I, you know, what guy and what person on whatever side of it can't relate to that? Because when you learn that, when you're like, oh, and when you're reminded of it, because intermittently, like in whatever situation you're in with your relationship, you run from that and you're like, no, not, we're the exception. And it's
well,
like,
he's, yeah, exactly. He's young. He's 23
yeah,
too.
Even in a perfect situation,
it's not even
where you're
natural
like,
for her.
You know, where you're like, okay, like, you know, my partner is has not, will not, and I'm sorry, fuck you for
my
thinking
my partner
it.
Is too insecure and I keep them that way.
Well, and the you know, the idea...
like, that's where you're safest.
The idea of it is, like, you know, she's got these desires and these dreams and these wants.
And they're natural.
Of course.
Why do you want to talk shit about that, dude?
Well, I mean, if we wanted to talk about like having shit up to our elbow, then you know, it's a different conversation. Ah! Yeah, exactly.
He's fucked that ass.
I already fucked your ass.
He fucks his own ass.
That's how he gets shit up to his elbow. Well, he like drooled all over.
Oh, sorry. Let me clean that up.
Yeah, please. No. Oh. Roddy may actually slit your throat tonight.
God, dude, that's so wrong. It's so wrong because I cleaned up his trash, but she doesn't know that because there wasn't trash here. But she's like, this motherfucker. There's some gum right there, by the way. I got to make sure to throw that away. Sorry. We're way off now. But,
you know, just don't leave any gum.
A24 released a movie called X, and then a few months they released a movie called Men.
X.
Dope. That's that foreshadowing. Yeah.
I hate you because you don't like the X-Men movies.
No, but I like the Juggernaut.
Well, did you
actually
see Deadpool 2?
I like what's the one where they're young?
That's badass.
Is that First Class? First Class.
That's actually
Fox.
Brandon Flowers.
First class is dope. X2 are my favorite. And then Days of Future Past.
Yeah, when they finally put the Juggernaut in there, it sucks.
Yeah, when Magneto was fucking killing those fucking, when he's hunting down the Nazis, that shit is dope. That's Matthew Vaughn.
Those are your people, dude.
Which Magneto's one, Magneto's or the Nazis? Magnet people
the,
or Nazis?
The Nazis.
Either one would be okay.
The Magneto one I'll go with. I'll go with the Magneto people.
Not the Nazis.
Not the Nazis, no.
What are we watching next week?
We have no idea.
Man,
we got to figure out if we're going to do our body horror bracket.
I mean, we should do Studio 666 next week.
Let's do our body horror bracket.
Dude, now is the perfect time.
Let's see if it's streamable. Let's see if it's streamable. And fresh news when we heard it. We heard it in the break that Taylor Hawkins is dead. I'm not going to say anything else.
He's clearly distraught about
but
it.
But if you hadn't considered it, you should consider that maybe if they hadn't made a movie called Studio 666, they wouldn't have... You know, you called down the thunder, well, now you got it. You know what I mean?
I was trying not to laugh.
They'd never seen the bull and he got the horn.
Clearly, they'd never seen Tombstone, you know? So, wow. So, yeah, let's see if it's streaming. Well, what we do want to do, listeners, is a bracket.
Dave Grohl as Satan and fucking the pick of destiny is looking real ironic now.
That song fucks.
That's the thing, too. Every time he sees him drumming, he's smiling. He's the smiling drummer, which always bugged the fuck out of me. And it's like, well, what happened?
You're the frowning drummer.
That's dope. Well, keep your, you know, you don't gotta smile or frown. You gotta
work. Just be emotionless.
You gotta keep your friends close and your.
Somebody should have kept him closer. He might not have died in a hotel room.
Keep your head down and make it to the downbeat, bitch. That's what you do.
I'm the devil. I like metal. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Who's that?
That's Tenacious D, dude.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we're gonna be watching Studio 666.
We're watching something.
We're watching something, and you'll know when we know.
Oh, Jesus. This.
That movie's about to explode with views.
Dude, so much. It's too fucking on the nose,
if they don't
man.
Put it on streaming right now.
It's that's $20 to rent this movie.
To rent it?
Yeah.
Fucking. Ew. well, okay. I got nothing else. This is the Who Goes For Podcast for episode 346. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
Bye, Sophia.
Bye, Sophia.
This is Rhett.
Hi, Sophia.
Hi, yeah. Sophia. This is Ree!
Oh, my God. I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.